I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am Blake Harrison and joining me as ever is the wonderful, the beautiful, the regal, Stuart Whiffin. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. Regal. I'm loving that.
Regal,
I've never
yeah.
been called Regal.
Yeah, you know, I think you could be. I've been watching a lot of House of Dragon lately, so I'm just kind of seeing everyone with crowns on their heads or with their heads chopped off, basically. That's kind of what's going on.
Welcome to the arena, Stuart the Regal Eagle Whiffin. That's what I'm coming out as.
Regal
That's
Eagle.
That's going to be my...
Sounds terrible. The Regal Eagle.
Oh, dear. Well, we've got a good guest today, right?
We have. We've got a fantastic guest today. We've had them on the show before, so check out a previous interview.
We haven't.
Well, I have. And
you flew solo, didn't you?
I did fly solo.
A lone eagle.
For once.
The regal eagle was away.
The regal eagle was away. And the pathetic eagle was here on his own. So we have a previous interview with this person before. Go and check that out. But this one is really interesting because it's prior to a huge, huge Cage Warriors event. Cage Warriors 145, where he's taking on Paul Hughes in a rematch. Of course, I'm talking about Jordan the Epidemic Buchanek.
And it's a cracking natter. Should we just get on with it?
Let's just get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan the Epidemic Buchanek. Jordan Buchanek, it's lovely to have you on the show, mate. Look, before we get into our little chat, I've got to just say a few things about the event coming up. It's Cage Warriors 145 in London on Friday, November 4th at the Indigo at the O2. The event's also going to be on UFC Fight Pass, and I think there's limited tickets available. So if you want your tickets, don't miss out. Go to cagewarriors.com and get your tickets, because this is the biggest rematch in Cage Warriors history, isn't it, Jordan? And firstly, mate, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. And yeah, one of the biggest fights in European MMA, I would say.
Well, before we get on to that, we're going to go have a dig, a real deep dig into what's coming up. But when you first come on the show, I was on holiday, so I've not met you before, Jordan. So hello. And one of the things that Blake and you spoke about on the podcast was not long after that chat, there was another baby in the Vichenik household. Has things?
Yeah, it's good. Gray's 6 months now, and he's doing good. He's throwing punches and kicks already. So
excellent. How's the sleep been? Because that was one thing you said, that because you've already got is it a stepson or stepdaughter that you've already got?
Yeah. Stepson already.
You've already got a stepson, but you said you missed a lot of the sleepless nights because you kind of came into their life when they were about 5-6 months old, something like that.
Yeah.
But you've had the sleepless nights now, I'm assuming. How's that been?
Yeah, it's been all right. I would say that's the only thing that Paul Hughes does better than me in terms of fighting is the sleep and the recovery. But yeah, it's been good. He's not been, I say that, he's not been too bad. My missus says he's terrible for sleeping, but you just crack on with it, don't you?
Yeah. Has she been good? Has she been like, you've got a fight coming up, so I'll do a lot of the night feeds and kind of let you sleep a little bit?
Yeah, she has, to be fair. I will give her that. Good. She has been. If he's ill or anything and he's screaming, I say, I'll go up with him. She's like, no, 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 you fought your fight, you need to rest. So,
That's great. That's a wonderful thing that your relationship can have that. It's because it's a sort of, in a way, it's sort of like a team, isn't it? You are all helping each other. And I'm sure once the fight's done, you'll be doing all the night feeds and everything else.
I think she just wants me to get into the UFC so I can be rich, so she can spend all my money. That's why she's doing it.
Well, let's hope that happens. I mean, in terms of the last fight you had against James Hendon, who stepped in, I think, a bit late notice for Paul Hughes, because this fight was made before earlier in the year. It sadly fell through because Paul had injuries with his neck, and I think James Hendon stepped in. You went out there, got a phenomenal finish in that second round. But the thing that I really wanted to ask you was, am I right in thinking that was your first fight in front of a crowd for a long time? Because didn't you win the belt and everything, and it was empty arenas or sort of empty arenas? So, I mean, how was that? Because the crowd was... I actually rewatched the fight yesterday. The crowd is buzzing, and it's a very pro-Vucenic crowd. They are really going for it. I mean, the atmosphere looked brilliant. How was it for you fighting in front of a crowd for the first time in ages in such a big fight after having some time off? How was that? Was it nerve-wracking, or were you okay with it?
Do you know what? It was amazing. It was more than I could have ever thought, because the only fight I had on Cage Warriors with the crowd was my debut, and I weren't that big back then. So I think I sold maybe max 150 tickets. Since the lockdown, fighting behind closed doors, I was building so much of this big buzz. And then I had the fight, and I was never expecting it to be as big as it was. You know, thousands of people there going absolutely crazy. So that's why I took so long on the walkout. You know, I just had to sort of take a step back and take it all in before I fought. So, it was amazing.
So you're going to get that again. And we've also seen that Paul's got a huge, noisy Irish fan base. So what are you expecting walking out this time?
I'm expecting it just to be even more crazy and even louder. I'm sure that the Irish fans will be drowned out by mine this time. I can guarantee that.
That will be a really... Well, it'd be an exciting place to be. It'd be an exciting place to watch it on the TV, because the crowds really do add to that. You see that with, like, when the UFC has their, like, Apex cards and all that kind of stuff. And it just feels a little bit more dead, whereas... when the crowd's buzzing like what it was at UFC 280 recently, or like particularly the London cards, we were lucky enough to go to London cards, it just makes such a difference. And it feels like it gives the fighters that little bit more, for want of a better expression, juice. I don't mean illegal juice. I mean just, you know, that emotional stuff where you just go, God, you're just going to give it extra 10% or something like that. Do you find that? Does the crowd bring something more out of you?
Yeah, I feel that. And especially, you know, maybe moments that aren't there, you think you've hit them and the crowd goes crazy. Maybe it makes you think, oh, I need to get after them a bit more. So, like you said, it gives you that extra juice. It gives you that extra push to just put that little bit more oomph into everything and just get after it, I think. I think that's what the crowd does. They sort of almost stare you on to go after it.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, because if, you know, you crack them with a good shot and you hear that roar, it's got to be hard not to get that rush and just think, right, I want more of this. And, like, you know, are your corner generally trying to get heard over the crowd? Go, whoa, 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 like, don't rush in. Like, yeah, you know, where are you at with that?
Yeah, I suppose so. It's hard for any fighter, you know, when you land a good shot, to not go for that kill, because you think, oh, I can get it done now. As much as you've trained to go the full distance and you're as fit as you can be, every fighter would love that quick, early finish. So it's hard to not chase it. The only thing is with people along with the level of me and Hughes is, you know, you can't chase that finish too much because you can get yourself hurt. As you've seen with the O'Malley-Yan fight at the weekend.
Yeah.
O'Malley cracks him, gets after him. Next minute, he gets cracked himself and dropped back. So that's when you're fighting at this sort of level, it's... That's few and far between, those things can happen. So, it's good in a way because it might push you to get the finish, or it might push you to get yourself finished. So just depends.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things is this is a high pressure fight. You know, it's unifying the Cage Warriors featherweight belts. So maybe you just see it as a title defense because Paul's the interim champ, but you've defended your undisputed title in that site since he became the interim champ because of injury. Is there also a UFC contract on the line here, finally? I think last time we spoke about, you know, your fight and the UFC contract. Do you expect this, the winner of this fight, to be, and obviously you're thinking it's going to be yourself, are you getting a UFC contract after this fight, do you think?
I expect that, but I expect it after the last one, so only time will tell. I'm not making any promises to the missus like I did the last time. I promised I'd be signed by the UFC by this time, so I just need to see how it goes. I have one more fight on the contract after this one, and we'll just see if I need to fight that fight or if I move on.
Is it UFC or bust, or you know, are there considerations for PFL, Bellator?
That's pretty much UFC or bust. I've always been that way. I've always been that way. So I just got to stay tunnel vision and headstrong with that. That is my that's all my cards on the table. You know, is to be in the UFC.
What about the original fight itself? Have you rewatched your original fight with Paul?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I watched it again the other day for the first time in a while.
Really? What are the positives you take from your performance, and what are the things that you also think, I need to improve on that if I'm going to get a more definitive victory?
The biggest thing I took away from it is that's not me anymore. The person that fought Hughes the last time. And honestly, I mean that in every sense of the word. That is, looking back at that fight and now, I'm not even close to that. At the gym now, we've got a new wrestling coach, a new striking coach, and all these things, and people that weren't with me back then. And my coach has told them, watch the fight back, him and Hughes, the first one, see if you can pick out anything. And both of them come to me and said, you're not even the same fighter anymore, so there's no point in even looking at that fight. And that's how I feel exactly that. It's not even me and that guy are chalk and cheese who fought Hughes the first time. Bad footwork on the first one, moving too much, trying to get after it too much. Just a completely different fighter, and a lot more matured as well as a man. You know, I was 24 back then. I'm 26 now, nearly 27. I've had my son. Just so much has changed that my body's changed so much since then as well. You know, I feel like I had a boy's body now, and now I'm slowly turning into that sort of man strength, getting that manly framing.
What
the fight was obviously very close last time. Do you think this time, with the changes that you've just mentioned there in yourself as a person and as a fighter, do you think this one's going to go to the judges?
No, I don't think so. No. And like I said, to Blake the last time, you know, I need it not to go to the judges again. Same with the Hendon one. I think what I a lot of the time do is I just think, yep, there's five rounds. So, you know, I've got plenty of time to work into this. Whereas that's not what the guys in the UFC are wanting to see. That's not what the fans want to see. They're wanting to see guys that are willing to lay it all on the line and go for the finishes. And, you know, I'm going to be looking to do that, and not in a stupid way looking for finishes, But, you know, just looking for that killer shot and looking for those killer sequences to get the job done.
When I look back at that fight, I hope Paul doesn't mind me saying this. I'm not trying to badmouth him or anything, but there's a couple of moments that really stood out to me. And those were, particularly the first one, was cage grabs.
Yeah.
Do you notice that when you're rewatching the fight? And is that something in your head where you're like, in the back, are you going to have a quick word with a Goddard or someone else and just go, careful of them cage grabs, because he's done it before?
Yeah, well, at the time, in the fight, I didn't realise he did it, you know. I just picked him up and I thought to myself, fucking hell, he's got good balance, as this old boy does. And then it went until I watched it back and I thought, you cheeky bastard. But, yeah, I'm hoping that I have Goddard for the ref for this fight, because I know he is stand with things like that and he won't be letting it get away. But yeah. Also as well, I hope that he shoots in on me and gets a deep double and I'm going to hold that fence. I'm going to land the open fence and have that away. And even if I don't need to use the fence to stay up, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to do it to the point where I get a point deduction or anything, but there's going to be that odd time where I'm going to grab that fence and I'm just going to look at him and say, oh yeah, oh yeah.
But there is a weird thing in MMA at the moment, because it seems like it's other sports, you'd be like, you know, you commit a foul, you get a yellow card, you give away a free kick, or you know, whatever it might be. In MMA, it does seem like you can do a tiny little cheat and sort of just get away with it, whether it's like a fence grab or sometimes a groin strike. I mean, I do think most of the groin strikes are by accident, but fence grabs seem intentional and they have a big impact on the rest of the fight. Like, in my head, me and Stu talked about this only recently on one of our episodes, where we were saying, I feel like if someone grabs the fence, the action should be stopped. They should go, right, person that was going to get the takedown, you've got the choice. You can either go back to like a clinch, keep it on the feet, or you can put them down on the floor and you're in their guard, and then you reconvene the action. Because taking a point when you've got the 10-point must system, it is very harsh, and it does feel like you want a few fouls before you actually take a point, unless it has a real impact on the fight, like a really bad eye poke, groin strike, whatever it is, or like the illegal knees and stuff like that. But when it comes to the fence grab, I just think it would be a really simple solution to go, right, you've grabbed the fence, you prevented the takedown, let's put you where you would have been if you didn't grab the fence. Do you think something like that would work well, or do you think that's not a great idea?
Yeah, no, I do think that, because especially, you know, the first fence grab, it was clear that he was getting took down, hence why he used the fence to keep himself up. Yeah, it would have been good to have sort of said, right, stop, listen, used to it. That was clearly a takedown. And yeah, like you said, starting in that neutral position in the guard, you know, you can't say, yeah, we're going to start you down them in full mount, but
no,
definitely at the bare minimum, starting in their guard would be... Yeah, I think that would be suitable. But it wasn't even the first fence grab that's the bad... The first fence grab's the real blatantly obvious one. But in the second round, when I have him in the standing head and arm, our leg reaped him and I was going to take him down and he held the fence and he did get a warning from the ref. The action weren't stopped, but the ref said, one more fence grab, I'm going to take a point. But the fight would have been finished there if he hadn't grabbed the fence, because I had him in a locked-in head and arm choke. I would have leg raped him and we'd have landed and I'd have finished that submission, I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to doubt you, because we saw the head and arm choke against Hendon, didn't you? You got that kind of like clinch position and then got round to the back, which was a beautiful transition to watch. Is that something you work on a lot in fights? That kind of, because you don't see it very often, those kind of like standing head and arm choke positions and then go straight to like a back take or something. I don't feel like I see that very often.
No, I'm just very naturally athletic. I always have been as a child, you know. I was one of those people that could turn my hand to any sport and I'd be really good at it. And it's just took in years and years of doing the grappling, doing the MMA. And in the beginning, that was sort of my go-to, was being this athletic, scrambly guy. And now I've got my base down, I've got my technique down, and those things can just come now and then in the moment, you know, and it looks spectacular when it comes. So I've always just sort of got those, in my back pocket, so to speak. I'm one of those guys, you know, when someone does something crazy and they flip out of a position and they're on their feet all of a sudden, everyone goes, how the fuck did you just do that? I'm one of those guys that do that every single day in the gym. So these, crazy, jumping things are nothing new to me.
You mentioned that there's new coaches involved in your camp for this this fight. Tell me about what the most notable changes are in this camp from, let's say, the first time that you fought Paul Hughes.
I think the biggest thing that I've come away with is the footwork, really. I think my footwork against Hughes the first time was just all over the place. It wasn't really doing me any favours, but I'm always about building off of the last performance, and my fight before Hughes was against Steve Aimable, and the thing I took away from that is I didn't move my head. You know, I kept my head on the centre line and I kept getting countered for it. And going into the Hughes fight, I was so head orientated. I wanted to make sure my head was moving so much that I weren't focused on my feet underneath me. So when my head was moving so much, my feet were moving with my head to try to sort of counteract it and keep my balance. And it just wasn't a good sort of formula for that fight. But that's been a big thing, you know, sitting down on the shots. If you see any of my videos, I'm a lot more sat down. If I could release footage of training, of some of the things that have been happening in training, you know, I'd be a very popular man because there'd be a lot of highlight reel things that people would like to see. But I'll never do that to my training partners. But yeah, just since I've been sitting down on the shots, everything's just come alive. You know, the power's come alive, the speed, everything. And I really am excited to show it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
What, even when you was talking about fence grabs, and there's been so much chat and hype about, you know, the rivalry and this rematch, but even when you talk about fence grabs and the previous fight, there's still a smile on your face. Like, there's obviously mutual respect between you both, but what do you really think of Paul Hughes?
I've said this many a times. I've said it to him. You know, I actually do like him as a person, and I like him as a fighter. You know, I'm a fan of his style. But this is just something that needs to be done. It needs to be written that I got the job done. Do you know what I mean? I've said it in many, many interviews. You know, immediately after the fight, I thought I'd lost. You know, I said to Hughes when the decision went my way and got my hand raised, I said to him in the cage, you know, look, I thought you had that one. And you know, looking back at it, a lot of the times I do think it. A lot of the times I think, yeah, do you know what? He did win that. And then there's the odd time where I think, nah, I did win that. So I've got to go out there for me, you know. And I know that, like I said, Jam, I'm not that fighter anymore. But I know I'm levels above what I showed in that fight. And I'm just really excited for next week to go out and show it. And I'm excited to do it with a smile on my face. You know, the first time there was bad intentions, whereas this time there's just tunnel vision of knowing what I'm going to do.
Well, we had a massive card this Saturday just gone, UFC 280. Did you get to watch any of that, or were you just busy trying to sleep and be dead?
No, I did watch it, to be fair. Because it was on UK time, that's why I watched it. I never watched the UFCs as well, but I did. I watched the full card, yeah.
Is there any moments from that that you found inspiring or made you go, oh, I can't wait to get to the gym the next day, or looking forward even more so to your fight? Were there any moments that stood out to you from that card?
Yeah, the Bilal Muhammad fight, you know, I was really high on that short Brady, and to see the sort of progression that he's had from watching fights of his before, that sort of gave me that burst of like, yeah, look, he's done it. He's went out and looked 10 times the fighter. Sean Brady had such a hype going in there, and Bilal went out and, you know, just looked like a killer. And and I'm thinking that's sort of how it's going to go for me, you know, just look like you've just changed so much as a fighter. Yeah, I'm just excited. But that was a good fight to watch, and that was a good finish from him. Lovely shots.
Yeah, it was. It was great. I think Stu's already slightly alluded to this, but is there a prediction? Is there a specific way that this fight finishes, or round that this finishes in, anything like that?
Yeah, I really do think I'm going to finish him. I think I'm going to finish him with maybe not so much one clean shot, but I think a cluster of shots, you know, just constant. I think I'm just going to break him down from start to finish. And I do see it ending with punches, you know, whether that's going to be a body shot or a head shot, it's going to depend what's going to land flush on him. But I do think it's going to be with punches.
Nice one.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, look, we've taken up quite a lot of your time already. Like Paul as well, we're fans of both of you, and we can't wait to see this fight. And honestly, best of luck, Jordan.
No, thank you,
and thanks ever so much for coming on the show today. Thank you.
No, thanks for having me on, boys.
Yeah, best of luck, mate. All the best, and love to the family as well.
No, thank you. Right, you two take care. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. There you go, Jordan Vucenic. What an absolutely delightful young man. And make no mistake, an absolute killer. It's just fired me up for more of this, Blake.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for Cage Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, this fight, there was probably even more hype around it the first time it was booked. And I think I've heard Jordan say on other interviews that maybe because the fight dropped out, there's not as much media coverage of it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, this is a huge, huge fight. Both these guys are absolutely fantastic. Both of them have got like wins over Morgan Charrier. They fought before in an incredibly close fight that sometimes, as I think Jordan just said, sometimes he watches it and thinks Paul won that fight. Sometimes he watches it and thinks he won that fight. It's a really hard fight to call. We were discussing it before the interview. We weren't sure kind of which way it went from time to time. It's a really close fight from two young, brilliant Irish and UK fighters that, you know, you're looking at them and going, these guys should really be signed to the UFC and be given a chance at the highest level. The winner of this fight, it would be an absolute travesty if they're not given a UFC contract at the end of this fight, as far as I'm concerned. So this is one of those fights where you get on it now. Watch this fight.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to see someone that is going to end up in the UFC, and not just end up in the UFC, but hopefully do really well in the UFC.
When we went to Cage Warriors, Blake, during lockdown, during the kind of the gap in lockdown, or was it just coming out of lockdown? I can't remember. But it was an empty York Hall, and we was up in the chairs, wasn't we? Like on our own, just sitting there like a couple of loners. But what I took from that was all of the posters around the venue of all of the fighters from Cage Warriors that are now in the UFC or have been in the UFC, and it's impressive. You know, there's some legit legends. Obviously, we can't not mention Conor, Bisping, Joanna, all of these fighters that have come through. Dan Hardy, they've all come through.
Paddy and Molly recently as
Paddy
well.
Paddy and Molly, Jack Shaw, you know, there's so many like incredible champs that have gone into the UFC. And I definitely think, and I hope the loser of this upcoming fight doesn't lose their opportunity to fight in the UFC as well. I think hopefully if the loser of this fight gets one more high-level win and that opportunity presents itself to them as well, because as we've said before, both top fellas and both high-level mixed martial artists. And so, this is all going down at Cage Warriors 145. 145 events. Props to Cage Warriors. And it's obviously at the Indigo at the O2 in London on Friday, November the 4th. If you can't get tickets, there is a few tickets left, so try and go. Honestly, Blake and I have been to the Cage Warriors events. They're absolutely fantastic. Go there if you can. If not, fear not. It's live on UFC Fight Pass. So go check it out on Fight Pass if you can't get down to the Indigo. Are we done?
I believe we're done.
Right. Also, just quickly, all of them people that we mentioned that have found their way into the UFC from Cage Warriors, we have had chats with most of them. If you like hearing Jordan speak as well, go back and listen to the long-form interview that Blake done with Jordan.
Oh, that was a great one. Hour long. That was like the best interview we've ever done. I don't know what it was. There was something that's normally there in those interviews that just grates on me a little bit. But that interview was just smooth and lovely. It was great.
Thanks ever so much for listening, people. We'll see you next time. Prick.